This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hey kids, thanks to Deluxe Diner, it's time now for Pick a Tale with storyteller Leslie Dowding.
Welcome to Pick a Tale. Do you know, a long time ago, there was no electricity. People would use the natural light of the sun and the bright light of the moon to see their way when they were out walking. And in their houses, maybe they had candles or other kinds of light. But because they only had the sun and the moon to go by, wonderful stories appeared from all around the world as to how things came about. There's a marvellous collection by Mary Hoffman and Jane Reig called Sun, Moon and Stars, and I'd like to share some of these with you. Quite recently, the moon has been very, very bright. And at the moment, on the news, there's even a rocket heading towards looking at the moon. Well, this story is called Crying for the Moon, and it comes from a very, very wonderful place, far, far away, where stories of such kind always were told outside, under the stars. Some of these are English, some of these stories are Caribbean, some come from Hindus' legends, some from the Norse, and some even folk tales. No one's quite sure where this one came from, but it's called Crying for the Moon. Just as the sun is tied up with life and energy, so is the moon. Perhaps because it has lots of wonderful, bright, shining, glittering kind of silver parts to it when you look at it. Sometimes it's all completely round, but sometimes it has like what's called slithers, crescent pieces. Well, this legend is all about the moon and how, when it shines so brightly in the sea, people think it's actually lighting the sky. One day, Anansi and the flip-flap bird were all running around. Now, Anansi, the Spider-Man, had six children. Their names were Owl, Road Builder, River Drinker, Fish Cutter, Stone Thrower, and Cushion. And if you can't guess why, well, maybe the story will help you. Now, Anansi is a very famous spider and is told many stories in Africa. One day, Anansi had to go to town on business. He kissed his children goodbye and set off. Soon afterwards, Sea Owl, one of the very tricky little children, called the others and said, "Quick, Father is gone. Let us go down to the river and see what we can find." Road Builder made a path with his spider silk and they travelled on it to the river. River Drinker swallowed it up, all the water, in one big gulp. Fish Cutter opened up what was there, and Anansi's adventures were not over yet. For Father, who was on his way to town, had no idea what his children were doing. Flip-Flap Bird swooped down suddenly out of the sky and caught him in her beak. Now the children who were down at the river looked up and saw their father disappearing. "We can't have Father disappearing like that," they said. "We must go and find him." Now one of the children, who was called Stone Thrower, scooped up a pebble, hit the bird on the wing, who opened her beak immediately, and Cushion darted backwards and forth, and Anansi, their father, fell gently and perfectly into Cushion. "Oh, my children," said Anansi, "I'm so proud of you, the way you help so many people, and especially me. I was rather frightened when that bird picked me up." When they arrived home, Anansi took a turn in the garden. He wanted to think of a reward he could give his children. and suddenly he spotted a large glowing ball behind an avocado tree. "Oh, that's the thing," he said. "What a pity, there's only one of it." He went indoors and asked the children who should have the prize. Well, of course, they all wanted the prize. They all wanted a ball to play with. "Oh, dear," said Anansi. "I don't want my children arguing over something. I want to give them something really nice." Well, Flip-Flap had heard what was going on. "I would like that ball too, but then so would everybody else. I've got an idea." She picked up the ball and soon, you can't believe it, but she gave it to her favourite friend, Flip-Flap Bird. Flip-Flap Bird flew high into the sky with this silver-looking ball. So when Anansi went back into the garden and saw that it had disappeared, he searched everywhere. And then his youngest spider child said, "Look up, look up." And there, you wouldn't believe it, but Flip-Flap Bird had hung it into the sky so everyone could share it. "It will give light to the world every night." "All right," said Anansi the spider. "That's a wonderful idea. And it will make things so much brighter." And so they called it Moon. And that is how some people think the moon got into the sky. I'm not sure what you think, but anyway, it's rather a lovely story, isn't it? How the children helped their father, and in exchange for helping, he gave them the moon. Welcome to Pick a Tale. I'm going to read a variety of stories, but this one in particular is a favourite of mine. It's by a man called John Birmingham, who is a brilliant artist. In fact, he's so clever that he became internationally famous, and his stories have been published all around the world in many different languages. My favourite one is Borka. Well, an unusual name, I know. But this is about Borka and the adventures of a goose who actually had no feathers. Once upon a time, there were two geese called Mr. and Mrs. Plumpster. They lived on a deserted piece of marshland near the east coast of England, where their ancestors had once lived many years before. There they built their nest and laid their eggs. Each spring, the Plumpsters came back to the marshes and mended their nests. Then Mrs. Plumpster settled down to lay her eggs, while Mr. Plumpster kept guard. He would hiss at anything that came near the nest. Sometimes he hissed even if there was nothing in sight. It made him feel very important. Then the eggs began to hatch one fine spring morning, and there were six new baby Plumpsters all in the nest. Mr. Plumpster was delighted, and he would invite all his friends round to celebrate. The young geese were given names. They were Archie, Frieda, Jennifer, Oswald, Timothy, and Borka. Such beautiful babies. Now, all geese look very much alike when they're born, but right from the start, there was something odd about Borka. He had a beak and wings and webbed feet like all her brothers and sisters, but she did not have any feathers. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Plumpster were very worried about this. They called in the Dr. Goose, who examined Borka carefully, and he said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with her, except she just has no feathers." "Very unusual," he said, and he thought for a long while. And then he told Mrs. Plumpster that there was only one thing to do. "You must knit her some feathers. Knit her a nice little coat to keep her warm." So Mrs. Plumpster got out her knitting needles and set to work. Of course, she could not knit real feathers, so she made a kind of grey woolly jersey, much like feathers. When she'd finished, she called Borka and tried it on her. Borka was delighted and flapped around with joy, because she'd always been a little bit chilly at night. As you can imagine, not having feathers would be like not wearing a coat. She went and showed the other geese, but they laughed at her, and this made her rather unhappy, and she went into a patch of tall reeds and cried. Now, by the time the young geese were learning to fly and to swim, Borka didn't like joining in because the others teased her, so she just got very behind all her lessons. But nobody even noticed that she wasn't attending. Mr. and Mrs. Plumpster were far too busy, and Borka did try to learn to swim, but whenever she went into the water, of course, her jersey took a long time to dry afterwards, and so in the end she actually gave up. Now, summer was almost nearly over, and the weather was getting cooler, which meant the geese had to leave. For this time of year, they always went to a warmer land, where it was easier to find food. The Plumpsters began getting ready to leave, and they covered their nests and twigs ready for next time, making sure it was safe through the stormy winter. And then one day, it got really cold and really wet. The geese shivered and knew it was time for them to go. They chose one wise old goose to lead them, and off they flew. But Borka didn't, because she couldn't fly, you see. Instead, she went and hid and watched them leave, and nobody noticed that she was missing. They were all too busy thinking of the journey. And as the geese disappeared into the grey sky, tears trickled down her face. She didn't know quite what to do. She was all alone. It was beginning to drizzle, and she wandered off, hoping to find a dry place for the night. It was getting quite dark, and she came to a line of boats moored in the estuary. Borka chose one that had no lights on board, and she walked up on the gangplank onto the boat. She was going to go down into the hold of the boat when there was a loud ruff, ruff, ruff. The dog came rushing out, which gave Borka a terrible fright. But the dog, seeing it was only a goose, stopped barking and introduced himself. "My name is Fowler," he said. Borka explained that she only wanted to stay under cover for the night, so Fowler showed her into a part of the boat where there were some old sacks for her to lie down. "Come with me." She was so tired that she fell asleep absolutely straight away. How kind the dog was to her. She hadn't had a friend before. Now, the boat, which was called the Crombie, belonged to Captain McAllister. He was a very nice man. Later that night, he and his friend, mate, whose name was Fred, came back and decided to sail out early in the morning, before it was light. Fowler forgot all about Borka, and she was still asleep. And it wasn't until, well, on the way out to sea, that he remembered to tell the captain. "Well, well, well," said Captain McAllister, "a goose on board. She'll have to work her passage. We're on our way to London." Well, Borka didn't know what that meant at all. The sea was very rough. But Borka was taken in by the friendly captain, and Fred, of course, and Fowler. They showed her how to coil pieces of rope with her beak, how she could pick up crumbs from the floor and help in any way she could to keep them clean. And in return, she was given quite a lot of food. In fact, she started to put on a bit of weight. No one mentioned her knitting or her jacket. At last, the Crombie steamed into the Thames and they were nearing London. Captain McAllister began to wonder what to do with Borka when they got there. And then he thought, well, he could leave her in Kew Gardens, which is a large park where lots of geese live all the year round. But when they came to the place where the river flows past Kew Gardens, Captain McAllister lifted Borka over the rails and put her with the other geese. She was rather sad to say goodbye to him, but they promised to come and visit her on their next trip to London. Maybe he should have taken her to the zoo. Who knows? The geese at Kew didn't mind that Borker had no feathers. There were already so many strange kinds of birds in the gardens, and nobody laughed at her grey woolen jersey, and all the geese were very friendly, especially one called Ferdinand. Ferdinand cared for Borker and taught her to swim really well. And she's still living there happily. And do you know, when Mr. Captain McAllister and his friend Fred and Fowler come to London, they always go and see her. Isn't that lovely? So, if you ever go to London, and you go to Kew Gardens at any time, you might see a goose with no feathers, but a rather nice jersey, who looks a bit different. Well, it could well be Borker. I'm sure you might find that a great fun. Perhaps you could draw a picture of Borker. Maybe you could think of a goose without any feathers. Maybe you could draw a nice knitted jacket for it. Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale today.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.